Sabbath blessings, everyone in the room and on the stream again, and on the radio and on the phone. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we trust you. Thank you for giving us a desire to look into your word and to understand more and more, and to grow in faith unto the perfection in Christ. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us from all unrighteousness, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And thank you for letting us be alive in these last days to see the things we're saying. But Father, please, not only do we need more increase in the seeds that have been planted and watered in us, so do those that you send our way. And there's many out there, Father, millions of them that are thinking they're in safe churches. And all these government-approved preachers are luring them in large numbers. But like David saw running towards Goliath, we know that this is your fight. And so we'll just do as you have ordained us to do and prophesied we will do. But Father, we need more faith, wisdom, discernment, meekness, love, character changes, everything. And again, we lift up our prayer list onto you too, because we have many people on there that we love that are off the path and or just plain sick, spiritually and physically. And so please accept our prayers in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the prayers that have been put in the conference room here as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it just saddens my heart when I look online and I see these 501c3 and 501c4 pastors out there. And hundreds of people are, you know, clamoring to their side, listening to their confused sermons and their confused studies. Because with disobedience is going to come confusion. They can have the best sermon in the world, but if they don't obey the Lord, they can't possibly understand his word, doctrinally or prophetically. And so, yeah, they can echo the old standards. And anybody can do that. Anybody that knows how to read can echo spirit of prophecy, scripture, or even some of these charts you see on the walls that people have. So pray for them. It's the end times. It's overwhelmingly obvious. There's billions standing in line to burn in hellfire. So, anyway. And can you tell I was actually looking around on the internet a moment ago on YouTube and see, you know, what's going on with the streams? It's sad when you look at it because, you know, these people, they need to be warned. We got work to do. And I hope and pray that this church family steps up, as most of them are already doing. But we need more. We need more and more and more people out there. You'd be surprised how many people can be reached by one person. So, okay, so moving on. Next, in this study, we're on the water that's used in the ingredients of the showbread. So let's look at that. And yes, you can't quite make bread without water, but this is no ordinary bread, as we know, is the prophetic symbol of the word of our Lord, our Savior, and our King. And so, you know, it's what we need to understand, and those that has eyes, that have eyes that see, will be blessed in this way. I mean, after all, instead of water, the Lord could have had them use any kind of liquid making bread. He could, you know, goat's milk or pomegranate juice or even filtered grape juice for that matter. I mean, they could have made the bread out of anything, but no, he commanded water to be used in the recipe of this bread. And so, looking at Psalm 119:9 says the following: wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. And so it is fitting that water that which every person alive knows can be used to cleanse the body. Well, this bread represents the Word of God, and having water in its list of ingredients to depict the cleansing power of the Word of God. And so, what Jesus said in John 4, verse 14, plays a big part in this as well. That's John 4, 14, which says this. Jesus said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And to further lock this down, as well as doctrinal reality, notice what it says in Ephesians 5:26 and 27. It says this, after previously declaring how Jesus Christ loved the church enough to give his life for it, it says he did so that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so water was the obvious symbol used here that would illustrate the cleansing power of the Word of God. And again, without, doing it daily, I don't see how you can stay clean. Because I know people out there that they'll read the Bible one time in their life and they think that's all they got to do. And they think they're an authority on the subject yet. There's those of us that read it every day for decades and still can't, speak 100% in understanding of all the doctrines. We're going to be studying the Bible throughout eternity. There's still some things we all need to learn. But that's how the devil works. He gets people to actually think that they're Christians by reading a book one time and going to church maybe once in a while, or going to church on Sunday, for that matter, or even Saturday, because, the SDA church is so apostate now that it doesn't matter. All the people in there are yoking unequally. The ones that believe the way we do, they're going to come out. It's prophesied. They're going to come out. Revelation 18 is clear. It's no getting around it. Even Revelation 12:17 about the remnant of her seed coming out. It's rock hard. It's going to happen. It's no big deal for us to worry about. It's a big deal, but we shouldn't be worried about it because they're going to come out. The ones that don't come out, we could do anyway. They want to stay in. But this water and how it cleanses and stuff like that, it gives a whole new perspective on baptism now, doesn't it? After all, isn't that the Word of God that always moves people into accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, who, in the first place, who, by the way, is also the Word of God made flesh that brings them into a loving relationship with Him? That leads the filthy soul to baptism, so as to be cleansed even more by the Word of God that revealed their filthiness unto them in the first place. So it's a beautiful circle of life, if you want to call it that. And yes, this is also why Jesus said what he said in John 15:3. In John 15:3, and thanks again, Brother Sean, for putting the verses in the room and all the brethren that are moderating in the stream and here in the room. But Jesus said this in John 15:3. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." In fact, if you look a little deeper into how his truth reveals our sinfulness that leads to salvation and baptism, the foot washing we do in obedience unto his command at the Last Supper also shows how our daily walk in the world can cause the dust of worldliness to soil our walk. And so daily studying the Word can help to keep us clean, as well as the occasional communion service that can better freshen our walk with Christ, while at the same time remove any alienation between us as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because it's kind of hard to be angry at someone when you bow before them to pray and wash their feet, don't you think? And I understand it's a little difficult to do with an online church family as we have, but the Lord has us like this for a reason. He has us scattered globally because of what's about to happen. And again, I bring up, I brought this up last night as well, and I might even do a one-minute video about this and just call it "What If." What if 2030 is a lie, let's say? What if the devil knows he can, get the one-world government by 2020? or 2025. But yet he moves his subjects, because everybody in the United Nations, all those leaders, are all his pawns. And so he moves them to say they want it done by 2030, knowing full well he can probably get it done by 2020. And I say probably because Satan, he has to bow to God. I mean, if God says it's not happening in 2020, it's just not going to happen. I'm looking at the real ID, the way they want it in a specific year. And then, what, 20 years later, they might have an option to be able to enforce the real ID card. But just think about that. If the devil knows that he wants it done by 2020, and he tells everybody in the world through the United Nations that he wants it done by 2030, the people in the remnant church are the ones that scare him the most. And he knows they're human just like anybody else. And he knows that if he keeps them out of the word, or out of the church, or keeps them in a point, like in a mindset saying, well, you know, I've got 11 years, or 10 years, let's say, because you got the year of the plagues. But let's say, okay, look, I got 10 years, so I got some time to work on this. No, you don't, because the devil's a liar, and everybody that's under his control are liars. And I'm not saying it's going to happen in 2020 or 2022. It could happen in 2032 or 35. You know, we don't know. It doesn't matter. The only reason I put up the video is to show people that, look, prophecy is fulfilled now. They have already made the statement, just like What's-His-Face did back in Lyndon Johnson back in 1954 about the 501c3. You can see it then as prophecy fulfilled, even though it wasn't put into permanent law until 2017 on, what was it, December 2nd? Or 22nd, I think it was. Yeah, this date, when Trump signed it. It was just executive orders before then. But still, that was prophecy fulfilled, because the Bible said they were going to do it, and here they're talking about doing it. So as far as I'm concerned, prophecy is fulfilled, because it's going to get done. We know what the prophecy means. And so, yeah, stay in the Bible. Stay cleansed. And so I repeat, as I have so often said so many times before, stay in the Word daily, and you will be better prepared for whatever comes your way in life. And those little darts that Satan throws, because that's what it calls, the Bible calls it, they'll stay little darts. And little darts will bounce off you if you have the strength in Christ. I mean, you don't have to be a water-walking Christian. You just have to be a Christian that believes and understands the Word of God as the final say. And those darts are, you know, from Satan, are not going to have any power. But if you read the Bible once a year or once a month or once a week, those darts become javelins. And they can easily pierce your body and pierce your soul. I mean, the devil knows. If you don't see, that's what scares him the most. And this is why that 2030 thing is probably, you know, a bogus number. It could be before or after that. We really don't know. All he's worried about is getting the remnant people, the remnant of her seed, the one that, because her seed is the SDA church. The remnant people are the ones that came out and are doing the work now in the 11th hour. He wants them to sit back and relax. So if they think they got 10 years, some of them might sit back and relax. The way I look at it is, well, let's say we do have 10 years. We got a lot of people we can bring in if we start right now. 10 years? You kidding me? What if it's 15 years, like 30, 35? We can really pack it in. We can really get a lot of people. Why drag your feet? So I look at it as, you know, yahoo. But if it's 2022, well, still, I'm going to pack it in as if, you know, it could happen tomorrow. You know, because we know the latter rain's already sprinkling. Just like with any shower in reality, before you have the thunderstorm with all that heavy rain, it always starts drizzling first, right? So being in this sin-sick world makes us all targets, and of the devil, obviously, and who seeks to knock us off the path to home. And so again, stay in the Word, and you'll easily stay on the path. So in fact, the Word of God sanctifies his obedient people. And that's another reason you're seeing some of these preachers falling off the path, you know, like preaching false prophecies, private opinion. It's the spirit of prophecy even talks about that. I've been able to compile, you know, a few quotes from spirit of prophecy to help some of these SDAs that are listening to these guys that are out there saying something's going to happen. You know, like the Sunday laws are going to come in 2019. That's impossible, especially when you set dates, you know. So, but yeah. So the Word of God sanctifies God's people, and the ones that aren't sanctified, he's going to, you know, they're going to be leaving the church. Just watch. Some bright lights are going out right now. That's why you see what's happening in the SDA church. I mean, the SDA church has already fallen. The corporate, the corporate church probation has already closed. I got a page on the website all about that. So the SDA church, if you're in it, you need to get out because, corporately speaking, probation has closed. We don't know the exact date it happened, but we now know by their fruits it has closed. It hasn't closed on the people in it, but, you know, because, you know, they have time to come out, Revelation 18. So keep them in your prayers that they do eventually come out. And so, if we are sanctified as obedient people, we can be used for a holy purpose. And you don't have to be articulate. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You can be a babe in Christ. I don't know how many babes in Christ that I've known in my life that have said things that blew me off the chair. I mean, it's just like, you know, because it's just like any of us. You can be a theologian with alphabet soup after your name, and you've been studying the Word for, say, 50 years, and you're a professor, or they call you a doctor. You know, they give you all these titles. And a babe in Christ can come up and say something that you've never heard before. And it's absolute biblical truth. It's because their experiences in life allowed them to see something that your experiences in life have yet come to see. So you can't look down on a babe in Christ, you know, because there's a reason they're there. I mean, we're all used by the Lord, so you don't have to be a, you know, water-walking theologian to get out there and share your faith. Look at Legion. Legion went out there and because he wanted to go with Jesus, as you recall. I mean, who wouldn't? after having 2,000 demons cast out of him, he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, just go into the city and tell everybody what I did for you. That's all he did. He just showed them what the Lord showed him. He showed them what he showed him. And if you recall, when that happened, when Legion was cast free of and delivered from all that, the people in the city told Jesus, get out of here, because, you know, all the pigs died and they didn't want him here because they were ruining their business, right? When Jesus came back to the region, they all wanted him to stay because Legion shared his faith. They knew that man. They knew what he went through. They knew what he was doing in those graves, the gravestones, you know, in the graveyard. So Jesus literally said the following, and this is when he was praying for us as well as himself in John chapter 17, which proves that our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. All that, that's not a prayer. It's an outline for prayer. Because if it was a prayer, then what is John 17? But if you put that outline of prayer on, let's say, on your desk, and then you read John 17, you'll see the outline being used by Christ. But this is what Jesus said in John 17, verse 17. He asked his Father to sanctify them through thy truth. And then he finished by saying, thy word is truth. So if you don't stay in the Bible every day, you can't be sanctified, or you can't be set apart for a holy use. Sanctification, that's the definition, to be set apart to do something for God. You have a duty, whether you like it or not, you know, you have a duty. You know, I could think of like William Miller the first time he was asked to preach on a pulpit. He was scared. I mean, his wife probably asked him, and he got scared. Like many, like Sheffy. I remember reading about him years ago. It was a Baptist, you know, one of those circuit preachers. He was deathly afraid. He ran off the pulpit. He got so scared. And the first time I was on a pulpit, I was vibrant. I mean, I was scared. My kids saw it in me, too. But my fear was partly stage fright, and the other, because everybody's looking at you. And the other part was, I don't want to say anything wrong. And that's what gets me about some of these preachers out there in the SDA church. I don't have to mention the Protestant churches because they're wrong across the board. There's nothing. You can't even go in there to try to find some meat to pick away at the, get rid of the bones. No, you just don't do that. The SDA church is the only thing that's closest to the real church. But now it's been so infiltrated and so destroyed. If you, and for those of you that don't believe what I'm saying here, Go to sdaapostasy.org and look at the RCC and SDA doc files. If you knew what your church leaders are doing behind closed doors on paper, you leave that church immediately. Everybody I know, that's every honest SDA that ever went to that page has left the church. They did not know that stuff was there. It's just like when I left Catholic Church. I left because of what I found in the Bible. Later, I found out about the archives. The SDAs have to read those archives now, because on there, you wouldn't believe what's in there. So, anyway, do many people think, though, because I know this is out there, because that's what's going on, and if you look at some of the statements that are being made on the comments section of that one video I put up in regards to many, you know, the false prophets in the SDA church, they think all they got to do is go to church once in a while and hear a preacher, and they feel they're sanctified. But that's not true. And that is why the Lord used showbread instead of something like a golden cup or even a piece of wood. You know, as created beings, we do not require a golden cup or even a piece of wood to survive. But the Lord knows we need food. And so we use the showbread to illustrate how important it is to eat of his word daily. And unless we do this, we cannot hope to be sanctified by the word of truth. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." We are actually born again by the truth put forth in the word of God. In fact, it is by his word whereby, well, this is 2 Peter 1, 4. I'm going to quote here now, 2 Peter 1, 4. But it is by his word whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You having a hard time getting out of the world? Get into the word. You know, just remove the letter L. If you got a problem with the word, the world, take the L out, go into the word. Because it'll get you out of the world. You know, everything from anxiety to anger, it's all gone when you open that Bible. I mean, seriously open it. Don't just open it and, you know, close your eyes and drop your finger on the page and say, okay, that's the verse I'm going to read today. I was taught to do that when I was a kid. That's Catholic teaching. You're always going to get it out of context if you just read the one verse. I mean, seriously, the drunks do it all the time on the street. They say it's okay to drink wine because Timothy was told to drink a little wine for his sour stomach. They didn't realize that it meant grape juice, because fermented wine makes that, you know, ulcer worse. Grape juice heals it. But this is why I implore all of you to read your Bible every single day. There is no other way to be ready for the latter rain, and there is no other way to escape the corruption of the world through lust. If you're a Christian of many years and you skip a day, I'm sure you'll literally feel the greeting of his Holy Spirit. I mean, I can't actually speak on experience here, as I have never skipped a day, and I'm not bragging. It's just how he moves me to open that book every day. I have never skipped a day in 30-some years. I mean, worse yet, if you skip another day, it becomes less noticeable. Because now you're making the decision, and he's walking away because you're asking him to skip again and again, and eventually you can no longer hear his soft, gentle voice. And before you know it, like so many before you, you end up back in the world to join the billions who take on the evil nature of Satan so as to glorify him instead. Because you're going to have one or the other. There's just no way around it. There's no gray areas. You're either going to be saved or you're going to be lost. And the scary thing is, you literally will have no idea it's happening. You know, I've met many true Christians in my life, and I can recall how some who were daily in the Word were a true blessing unto me and many in the church family. But suddenly, one day, out of the blue, they started to have problems. And when they sought counsel, I asked them, when was the last time they read their Bibles? And every one of them that I have counseled over the years that eventually fell off the path said they had stopped reading it days, weeks, or even months ago. And they're confused as to why their lives were a mess. And as we talked further, I would discover that they used to refer to what they used to refer to as sin was now no big deal. I recall one man who, after he ignored the counsel of numerous brethren in this church family about marrying a woman who was not a Christian, that not only after marrying her, he left the church. He started drinking. He started eating unclean foods and even became a member of a Sunday-keeping church and boasted on Facebook about this, as well as declaring us a cult. I mean, that's how easily Satan can control those that don't eat the showbread daily. The basic reality is, because we're in the very, very, very last days. I mean, he's just chomping at the bit, waiting for you to put that book down. I mean, it's only the Word of God that we can ever hope to gain the perfection in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says this. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to probably go over about 5 minutes. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so unless you eat of the Word of God as it is depicted in the sanctuary as the showbread, remember what Jeremiah 15:16 said? Well, how many times have I repeated that? Do you even need to have it written down? I mean, thy words were found, and I did eat them, right? And then he says, and thy word was unto me as a joy. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by the name of the Lord of God of hosts. And yes, this is the same truth Jesus presented in John 6:53 when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. But if you never study your Bible, if you're a surface reader like most of the people that were standing around him that day, and the Catholics, even worse, the way they are today in regards to this passage, they literally, the ones that walked away from them, literally think, what are we, cannibals? That's because they never really understood the symbols of his statement. They don't study prophets, and they certainly didn't study the sanctuary, even though they were all Jews. So they couldn't get this. And the Catholics, they go even further with it in saying that you have to be a cannibal. They push cannibalism. This is why a lot of the people in the higher-ups and stuff like that go beyond just a Roman Catholic Eucharist and actually eat human flesh and drink human blood for power. But that's a whole other thing. And so why would Jesus say such a thing when he said what he said about, you know, his flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood? Because remember what Jeremiah says, I found thy words and I did eat them. But they forgot about that. And John 1:14 says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He also said in John 6, sorry about making you go back and forth there, Sean, but he also said in John 6, verses 57 and 58, he said, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall even live by, he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And so again, it is fitting that he used the showbread as a symbol of his word, for it's obvious, just as we cannot live without physical food, we cannot survive spiritually without eating the showbread of God. I mean, if you went a few days without eating food, you're going to get deathly ill. Well, if you go a few days without eating the spiritual food, you're going to get deathly evil. And that is why the prophet Hosea stated long ago in Hosea chapter 4, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, this is on you. This isn't his fault. This is your fault when this happens. We are all our own worst enemies in this place when it comes to that. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. And then Proverbs 4, verses 20 and 22, or verses 22, 22, all right? So 20 to 22, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, I could go further, but I'm going to stop here, because now I wanted to go into the frankincense this week, but next week we're going to go into the why frankincense was used as well, not just in the incense, but it was placed on top of the bread. So it's very interesting. So we'll go into that next week. And so for now, I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.
Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering, sin offering hast thou not required. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation.
Sacrifice
and offering thou didst not desire.
Mine ears
hast thou opened, burnt offering, sin offering hast thou not required. To do thy will, O my God. Yet thy law is within my heart. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Thy salvation, sacrifice and offering, thou didst not desire.
Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. And amen, Brother Eli. Isaiah 52:11. Depart ye, go out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go you out in the midst of her. Be ye clean and bear the vessels of the Lord. Yeah, SDAs need to hear that. All of them need to hear that. Everybody, all the churches. They all need to hear it. Get out of those churches. Okay, let me get this thing here ready. If you can kneel. We shall pray. Okay, there we go. Okay, so please kneel if you can. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us, and thank you for letting the internet connection stay strong throughout the church service, even though they've never fixed it yet. And please help us find a reliable internet service provider, Father, for the server. And thank you for blessing us in your word the way you do like that, and it's just amazing the way it opens up. And thank you for letting us have humble hearts and in regards to that, because we really don't know it all, but there's so many people out there that believe that they do. And so, Father, somehow bless them with eyes that understand it. No, you don't, because I don't see anybody out there walking on water. And even if they did, they still don't know it all, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so thank you for blessing us when we go into study like that. And please bless us in regards to what we're going to be doing now, exposing the truth about Christmas And again, we lift up everybody on our prayer list, all those that were mentioned in the text chat earlier, and everybody that's doing the work. Thank you for that hedge of angels. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. And I just realized that I didn't start a new... Oh, man. Oh. Well, let me stop it here on the recording. Give me a moment.